Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, Joel, we on the air, daddy. Joel's working the ones and twos back there. Just flew back from the Super Bowl, got off the plane. You're damn right, I'm going to tell you. We're sponsored by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposits all the way up to $1,000 with the promo code Drinking Bros. They're not happy with me this week.
I say, are you allowed to use them anymore? Are you allowed to bet on them?
Sure. Took about $9,000 off of MyBookie this weekend because not only did Daddy win the Super Bowl, I had Chiefs money line. I took the money line, got rid of the 1.5. Then I got the over. I had a teaser on the over under, and
which
then
you
I
didn't
teased
need,
the Chiefs
the
up. Didn't need any of it.
You could have gone straight up on that over under.
Mm-hmm. Could have done all the things, and we won all the things. On top of that, I also picked back to back in the golf tournaments. I got Scottie Scheffler this weekend, and he won.
This is what I. That's what I really enjoy because that's what's going to make Delco the maddest.
I wonder. I woke up this morning to an interesting article that had said Philadelphia is the only city now in the history of sports to have lost three major championships in under 90 days.
I don't think he's crying about one of them.
The MLS?
Yeah, I don't think that's keeping him up at night.
Yeah, it might, though.
And to be quite honest, if he says the Phillies one keeps him up at night, he can fuck off because he didn't start watching until the division series. Yeah. He was like asking me about the Phillies batting order. Like we were producing a show, like you guys were doing a regular Drinking Bros episode, and we were producing on the desk, and we had the fucking game up. And he was like, is that where Harper usually bats? Is Harper like third, fourth? And I was like, I fucking hate you so much. But this one probably gutted him. I mean, look, Delco, I think he was a bigger Phillies guy back in the day when he was like in high school, college.
Yeah.
Now he's primarily Sixers, Eagles. So okay. This one hurt.
Yeah.
This one hurt him.
I was, for full disclosure here, I was not with him during the game. Jesse and I ended up going to the game. She wanted to meet Guy Fieri, which made that happen for her.
She met him.
My God, dude.
Now, I saw the story where you guys were like, he was doing his trash can nachos.
Trash
can nachos.
It was right in front of us. Yeah. And it was right. We'd walked in.
We'd
gotten like
zone?
VIP and all that stuff. And you're right there. And so I was like, hey, do you want to get a picture with him? She was crying and could not take a picture with Guy Fieri. Mm-hmm. We did all the Super Bowl things over the weekend. First, we'll chat about the game, though. So Bob wasn't with us last week. He had some problems with his child. He was in the hospital. I'm glad everything's okay. You've also got pink eye.
I've got double pink eye.
Yes,
from my child.
Yeah, from your child.
Yeah. So this isn't just to clarify. This isn't the type where you get poop in your eyes and you get pink eye.
Yeah.
It's viral conjunctivitis, which just means my whole body is poop.
Sure. Sure.
Right, like poop is running through my veins.
But I wanted to let the audience know you weren't trying to cool guy everybody and be like, hey,
yeah,
dude.
Not going to Super Bowl, yeah.
Well, because I wore sunglasses on the show before and people were like, oh, hey, dude, are you that guy now? And I'm like, no, super hungover or sick or whatever it is. But
my eyes are open wounds. Yeah. So.
But since you weren't there last week, we had a million guests come in and out of Drinking Bros. We always get a huge Airbnb around the Super Bowl and then interview a bunch of interesting people. The MMA fighter with no legs on Drinking Bros today is phenomenal. It's a phenomenal interview if you want to check that out. But every single person that came through picked the Eagles, and they told me I was dumb the entire week. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't hear this one more
That's,
time.
That's – look –
because you picked the, I think you were the other one that picked the Chiefs with
me, Chiefs.
Right? Yes.
Yeah, I picked the Chiefs.
And the rest of these guys picked the Eagles.
Look, there was no bad pick. Like, I think either team could have won, obviously 38-35, and we'll get to the reason, you know, we'll get to the holding call and everything. Like, it was down to the wire, blah, blah, blah. There's no bad pick, but for so many people to be on one side is absurd. Like, everyone should have been confused. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean.
But the Chiefs are still, like, Mahomes isn't quite Jordan, but for so many people to pick against who is clearly the best player in the NFL.
But sort of, like, is he? And that's the question. Like, You know, I looked at both teams, and I had said this all week. Like, the reason I had the toughest time with this, this is the sixth Super Bowl I've won in a row now.
Yeah.
The only reason I had a really, really tough time with this one, and then another one was Brady versus the Chiefs. And I just eventually
Nobody
just went.
Nobody thought the Bucs were going to beat the Chiefs.
But I just went with the best quarterback and experience and was like, all right, they'll find a way not to fuck it up.
Yeah.
And that's what I did with this. I also looked, you know, obviously back at the Eagles schedule and the Chiefs. Chiefs have played very, very tough teams all year long. Eagles did not. And I wasn't sure whether or not Jalen Hurts was actually going to be healthy. And it appeared that he was.
He was great.
I thought, me personally last night, just, you know, having been there in person, I thought you could have made a case for him as the MVP. Now, I couldn't hear any of the announcers, so yeah. I don't know if they said that.
They were pretty, I mean, you know, they were basically just like jerking off both quarterbacks.
He had one mistake, and it was a bad one. It was that fumble, but that was it.
But that was the game.
It was the game, but
that was...
To never have played in a Super Bowl before and throw for 300 yards and then run for three touchdowns and all the other things.
Drop some dimes.
Yeah, yes.
Like,
yeah.
He wasn't...
That was the most accurate I've seen him as a passer in
ever.
7 weeks. Yeah, maybe
ever. Yes. I mean, I didn't see him do that in college.
I know.
Like, Hurts was incredible. There were so many catches. Devonta Smith and I always forget their tight end's name, but their tight end was doing a Travis Kelce impression, just bringing
Goddard.
In like
Goddard's yeah, good.
Impossible.
Dallas
ball
Goddard
impossible
is a good.
Ball.
Yeah, yeah, he's a good tight end.
And Hurts was incredible. It was that. Literally, and you know, people get to the holding call. We'll get to the holding call.
Yeah.
But like that one play in the second quarter.
Yep.
The just butt fumble, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, his own, just a cell phone.
He just kicked it off of his foot.
Yeah.
And then, right to the guy, right in the end zone. It was so shocking.
My guy, Nick Bolton,
mm-hmm.
who went to Mizzou, almost a Super Bowl MVP if he had gotten that second scoop and score.
Oh, yeah. Which was real close.
Dude, all right. So let me say something real quick about that.
Yeah.
By the rule. So there's a lot of Eagles fans who are going to want to bitch about, okay, by the rule, it was a hold, but that was a ticky-tack call.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that by the rule,
yep.
that Eagles player didn't catch the ball that got punched out, and then Nick Bolton got his almost second scoop and score on.
Yeah.
But like... He caught that ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that ball was secured in that man's arms. He just didn't move enough after. But, like, if you had caught that ball and then someone punched it out, like, just not in a game, just in general, if I threw a ball to you
yeah.
and you caught it like that and then someone punched it out and said, you didn't catch it, bitch, you would be like, yeah, I caught it. And then you just walked over and punched it out.
Yeah.
Of course I caught the ball.
There was a play like that, same thing. It was Clemson versus Ohio State. And the Clemson receiver got it, and then it was a scoop and score, and then they took an hour by the booth for the same thing. It was the exact same play. They called the plays identical in both situations. So, yes, there is precedence for it, and it is what it is. I guess they said he didn't make a full football move is what the referee had said.
And that's fine. And that's the rule. That's the rule.
It is, but it's so hard to say what a real football move is. You caught the ball.
Right. Like, he caught it and then didn't move.
And then you're looking to run. So it's like,
if you just catch the ball and don't move.
And then somebody swipes it, is that a fumble?
Right? Like, you catch the ball and then just fucking stand there?
Man.
Is it?
So with the holding call and everything else, you could have gone back to that play as well and be like, hey, dude, that was another touchdown on the books. For that.
He caught that ball.
I know.
Like, he that was in his arms. Like, he secured that ball.
Your guy from Mizzou, and I was laughing about this in the stands. I was like, he would have been
the MVP.
MVP of the Super Bowl.
Oh, he had that second scoop and score.
That's it.
Because he also had 9 tackles,
yep.
Two touchdowns. I mean, you're not giving that guy the MVP.
He's the MVP.
Yeah.
And I had a defensive player on my... it was one of the only few bets that I lost over the weekend was I had a defensive player winning it just because the odds were crazy. It was like 9-1.
Oh, you always, yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, that dude from Mizzou, like, I'm going to win this. This is awesome. And
yeah.
then they took forever. And I was like, oh, shit,
that
reminds me of that Clemson play. And I was like, they'll return it. And then they did. And Eagles fans thought, well, hey, we're going to fucking win now.
Right.
And look, man, I have not been that kind about Hurts all year long. I saw him in college. I saw him on his worst days, I guess, ever, for all the college games that I was at. He looked really goddamn good on this game.
I was going
to
say,
for him to drive down at the end of the game, score, and then get the two-point conversion on top of it.
And not just get the two-point conversion, by the way, like, he should have been stopped.
Yeah.
He pushed through.
Yep.
Like, they had him.
Yes.
And he just pushed right fucking through it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I there's nothing I can say about Jalen Hurts. I wasn't a Jalen Hurts hater, but I wasn't quite as far as you. But at the same time, I was like, I don't know.
You never know with a running quarterback, where it's just so unusual to see in the NFL. I guess because they never win, like, a running quarterback still hasn't technically won a Super Bowl yet. I mean, maybe you could say Russell Wilson, I guess, but
Russell Wilson's more like in that Elway mold, though, or Mahomes mold, where he'll break it if he needs to.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, like, he's not like a Lamar Jackson.
But 27 of 38 for 304 and a touchdown, no interceptions. And then
one turnover, though.
The turnover was a fumble on
real
him.
Bad.
Yeah, real bad.
That might as well be an interception. That was as bad of a turnover as you could have possibly had.
It was wild. And then 15 carries for 70 yards and 3 touchdowns.
So what, 370 total yards and how many?
374.
And how many total touchdowns?
Four total touchdowns. I thought you could have made a case for him as the MVP last night.
I mean, I kind of hate in general only giving the MVP to
the winning team. Yeah.
Right. Because he was clearly the most prolific player on. Now, I'll grant for Pat Mahomes, it's not his fault that A, the Eagles offense took up all the TOP in the first half,
mm-hmm.
and B, that Kadarius Toney returned a punt to the fucking 3-yard line, yeah. and he couldn't rack up yards.
Yeah.
Right. So,
what do you do?
Right.
I thought he played as good as you could possibly play in a Super Bowl without winning. On the other side of this, for the Chiefs, Chiefs are the Chiefs, and it's a lazy team. As soon as it was at halftime, hammered the live lines, same as you do with every other Chiefs game.
They had 3-1 odds,
3-1 on my bookie. I think I won another 1,000 on top of that. Every fucking game you do that to the Chiefs. Every game.
In the stadium, I was texting my friends. I have a ton of friends who are Chiefs fans because I'm from Missouri. Mm-hmm. I went to Mizzou. Know a ton of Kansas City people. I was texting them, and I was leaving Dan alone, Delco alone, because I didn't really want to fuck with him. But I was like, I don't know how to feel because on the one hand, the Chiefs played pretty bad in that first half.
Mm-hmm.
And they're lucky to only be down 10 because of the Jalen Hurts fart.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
On the other hand, the Eagles should have been up way more than 10.
Yeah.
They should have been up 14 to 17 points. And I was like, I don't know who should feel bad at the half. Like, going into that half, I was trying to put my head around, like, if I was a Chiefs fan or an Eagles fan, because I'm neither.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I think I would feel bad if I was either fan base, because if I was the Chiefs, I would feel bad because we're barely even in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to get lucky to even be in it.
Yeah.
And on the Eagles side, you should have been up more.
Yes.
Like, maybe quite a bit more.
So if you take away that touchdown where it just dropped out of his hand, I don't even think anybody tackled him.
He essentially was trying to transfer the ball over, and it
right.
hit his thigh.
Yep. And then just bounced.
Yep. And Nick
right
Bolton
off the ground to homeboy, and then he scooped it up and got in. But you take that away, it's 24-7 at halftime. That's a big boy number to come back on for the Eagles because they got a pretty decent defense. Now, for the Chiefs, I don't know if it's just their typical Chiefs laziness, because the second half, they torched it, and they scored 24 points.
Yeah. So, like, I think they scored on every possession in the second half.
It's fucking crazy. And you're just like, all right, why can't you guys just do this for an entire game? Chiefs got lucky with a couple things. Mahomes, maybe a minute and a half left before halftime, re-aggravated that sprained ankle.
One of the most ill-advised runs. He was just like, there's nothing, and decided to run, but didn't even commit to running it, really, mm-hmm. and just, like, left himself open to get hit. Like, I mean, that was probably his worst play of the entire game.
It was, but it also allowed him to go get that shot at halftime.
Yeah.
So you either take it before or after. With all the festivities and all that shit, because you've been to Super Bowls, that go around it, and it's a blast, but they're late. The games are late, and it's like, dude, it's extended.
Halftime's about three times as long, almost.
Three times as long. The other part, too, is with the national anthem. Then they sang the black national anthem. That was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
There was America the Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the wider national anthem.
Yeah. Yes. And there was some other performance, and the players were just standing on the field watching the commercial. So there was a commercial that was going, and they were about to kick the ball off. Eagles and the Chiefs were on the field waiting for the opening kickoff in positions for about 5 minutes.
It's kind of it's kind of brutal to go to the Super Bowl. As an in-stadium viewer, you're kind of just like, what the fuck?
There's so many extended breaks. Yeah. It's a fucking blast. And like, especially with a great game and all that stuff. You know, look, if you're a Chiefs fan here, the Chiefs are still the Chiefs. Mahomes is the greatest quarterback I've ever seen in my lifetime. And he has no one on this team besides Travis Kelce. And offensively, you got Isaiah Pacheco. I said the same thing all week. He's good for 70 yards. He had 75.
Yeah.
The rest of it, I didn't know Jerick McKinnon was even alive. I had to physically look up his number, and I was like, who is this guy? He had four carries for 34 yards, and fine. And they had Sky Moore, who was their punt returner.
Was.
Who had one carry in this game, and then Mahomes... ended up having six carries.
You're missing the best guy.
Who?
Or not the best guy, but one of the most important guys. Kadarius Toney.
I didn't think he was supposed to play.
The 20th overall pick in the draft.
Okay.
If you remember him at Florida at all, this guy was freak at Florida. This guy was one of the best. And it sucked because he played for like a sort of mid-ass Dan Mullen team, and it was when he was mostly there when Felipe Franks was the quarterback.
So he
didn't get to do a ton. Like, I don't think he was really there for the Trask year where Trask was a Heisman finalist. But Kadarius Toney, I was talking to one of my Chiefs friends about this last night. They're talking about missing Tyreek Hill or whatever. Kadarius Toney, they're going to keep him, I hope. Again, 20th pick overall in the draft by the Giants. This dude... to me, seems like a sort of hybrid between Tyreek Hill and Deebo Samuel, right? Where he's not as fast as Tyreek Hill, but he's not also as like meek as Tyreek Hill, and he can play out of the backfield. He can, like Tyreek Hill can, like Deebo Samuel. He's a little beefier, a little meatier, but he's still fast as fuck. Like, he's kind of like he's a combination of the two of them in like the best.
And he had an unbelievable punt return that set up the rest of that
game.
And
a touchdown where he faked out fucking everybody. I could have thrown that touchdown pass.
But even then, he had one catch for 5 yards. Look, his route was amazing and he faked out everybody. But you're going through this team. Obviously, Travis Kelce is one of the greatest tight ends ever. That's fine. Then you got Juju Smith-Schuster, 53 yards.
Who is an above-average wide receiver. He's a good wide receiver.
Above average, but not a star. That's not the superstar. Justin Watson, I don't know who that is. I apologize. There was so many times where I was looking at my phone and trying to figure out who these Chiefs players were. And I play fantasy football every goddamn week. I know most of these guys, but you wouldn't even start them. He had two catches for 18 yards. Jerick McKinnon, again, I was unaware he was still alive.
You know where they spent their money?
On Mahomes.
No? Well, yeah. On Mahomes and like letting him be like part owner in the line.
In the line.
The line.
Yeah.
On the names you'll never hear.
I know.
Right? They traded Tyreek Hill and they were like, just give us fucking linemen. Because here's the thing, man. Everyone in the NFL is a freak athlete. Every single person in the NFL is a freak athlete.
Yeah.
Right? So obviously you need like one or two dudes like Kelce. Kelce's obviously going to get the spotlight. And then Schuster is a big enough name where he will get some attention as well. But other than that, you can scheme anyone open. It's Moneyball shit. Like, really.
It is, man. And watching it last night in person, I was like, oh, fuck. Because I had seen them with the Tyreek Hill runs and all that stuff in person. And he's just a different beast. When you throw him the ball, it's good luck. And it's fun to watch. But with these guys, Noah Gray, Kadarius Toney had one catch, Sky Moore. The one that I thought was going to break out because he played for the Packers was Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
He had a huge AFC championship game.
He did. And then he had zero catches in this one. It was one target. And then there was another guy he threw to named Jody Fortson.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
But don't you think it's better to be like, I don't know, weapon agnostic?
If you can do it. The only problem is a good coach can do it.
A great coach and a great quarterback can do it. And they have both of those things.
So here's where I'm going with this. Is this the new version of the Patriots? Because Brady really, besides Randy Moss here, he didn't have a lot of weapons there. There was Gronk. All bullshit people. Gronk was great. So like, but is that the formula? You get one good tight end, maybe two, like an Aaron Hernandez or a Kelce or whoever it is, a great quarterback, and then two great coaches. And then just kind of go from there as long as your lines are good?
Kind of. And I mean, Belichick was even the same way on defense, right? Like, he would randomly have a star on defense sometimes, but like, name me one edge rusher the fucking... I mean, they'd have like Vince Wilfork at tackle, or like, I think they had Revis 1 year, and then... who was the cool guy, the dope dude who picked off Russell Wilson in the end zone, who was a pretty good quarterback.
Oh, Malcolm Butler. Yeah. He was okay.
Yeah. I mean, but like really, they never had, was all scheme. And that's the crazy thing about football. Like, you pretty much always need a star at quarterback. That's inarguable. Like, you can't really have a mediocre quarterback. But everywhere else, except for maybe the Lions or the offensive line, like, you can get away with talent deficits in scheming. You kind of can't get away with, I guess, people not being talented on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
But anywhere else, you can just kind of scheme around.
Yeah, it's for fun. Sure. For sure. And, you know, as far as the defense goes, like, Nick Bolton had a fantastic game. The only ones that you really know, obviously, are Chris Jones and probably Willie Gay on this team. Maybe L'Jarius Sneed.
Clark.
To a certain extent, I guess. But it's puzzling, and it's wild to watch. And I wondered, because there was a Green Bay Packer fan, and he said it facetiously, but I'll bring it up because I think it is actually a good point. I rode the Packers all year that Aaron Rodgers took all the money and they have no receivers, and don't be pissed off because you have nobody to throw to.
Right.
Where he goes, well, the Chiefs don't have any fucking receivers. And I go, I know. And I don't know how the fuck they're winning.
Better coaching.
Yes.
That's really it.
Is that it, though?
Yeah.
I mean, is that, hey, best offensive coach, best head coach?
And by the way, I would no offense to that Packers fan, but offense intended, actually. Aaron Rodgers is a fucking donkey shit quarterback at this point, who is not totally focused on winning and
football,
stuff like that. And Mahomes is, like, Mahomes is apex right now, and Rodgers is just, I don't know, having a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Like, I actually, you know what? It, to that Packers fan point, it fucking didn't matter 8 years ago for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Because he was making conference championship games constantly. Now it matters, with Mike McCarthy.
Yeah. But on the Eagles side, look, man, again, obviously been hard on Hurts for the entire year and most of his career in Philadelphia. He's probably the dude there. And, you know, they played his, besides one play, they played as good as you could possibly play. I mean, even that, we'll go to that holding call at the end of the game. Some people bitched about it. Some people didn't. We had a different angle inside the stadium.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to see all the stuff on television. But the angle we had in the stadium, it was a clear hold. Like, he grabbed the fuck out of that guy's jersey. And then his presser afterwards, he said, look, yes, I grabbed the guy's jersey. And he goes, I was hoping they wouldn't see it.
Right.
And he goes, I did it, and it is what it is. But the angle, once we got out of there and got home, that they were showing was like a straight on angle, and you couldn't really see it. Whereas
they were showing
the
wrong angle on
TV
a lot.
Yes.
So what happened was, and I was really annoyed watching the game, there, Juju Smith-Schuster came off, you know, whenever the ball was snapped or whatever, and he initially broke, or like went right, and then initially broke left, and that's when the dude tugged, right? And then it was not a big tug. Like, it was not, he tugged, but it wasn't like crazy. And then he followed him, and then everything they kept showing was when his arm, his left, he tugged him with his right arm.
Right.
And but they kept showing his left arm just being on his hip and be like, whoa, is that a hold? That wasn't the hold.
That was never the hold. It was before.
Right. It was the right arm tugging. And
that's the only view we had in the stadium. So I didn't get to see the other one that everybody was bitching about until after we got
home. And everyone who thought
home.
That was the hold call, you should be upset if you thought that was a hold call. That wasn't the hold call.
No.
It was right before that.
Yep.
He did get jersey. I think it was ticky-tack. It was correct.
It's correct, and, you know, most of the NFL referees have called this bullshit all year long. I'm not a big fan of NFL refereeing at all, because at that point, it's up to you whether or not you want to do it, unless the guy's on the fucking ground. And then the scripted comments about, you know, the Chiefs, because, you know, you had the push out of bounds on the last one, and then the holding call in the AFC Championship against the Chiefs that wasn't called. All that stuff. I don't know. It's a good story. Mahomes is the face of the league, and
do you think that? I'm so torn on that, because on the one hand, Mahomes is the face of the league for sure, and he is a dope player to watch on the field.
Mm-hmm.
He is a fucking dud. I love him, but he's like a dud personality.
Kind of a dork.
He's like a dork. Like, he's not bad, but he's like a dork.
Dorky.
He's
guy.
Not as cool as Burrow or Lamar Jackson.
Nope.
Or any guys like that.
Nope.
So there's no incentive to make him bigger in terms of, he's like a Mike Trout almost, you know what I mean? Where it's like, please be cooler.
And it's strange, because there's only a handful of guys you can think about that are this great and this dorky. Tiger Woods was one of them.
Yep.
Mike Trout is another. And then probably Mahomes.
Yeah.
And I think their talent supersedes everything else to where you watch them play and you don't really care that they're a dork.
Yes.
And I think that's the kind of the difference with him and Tiger and those guys, where if they weren't that great, then you'd be pissed off about it, where you're just like, all right, sweet. Who is this, Alex Smith? All right, man. Yeah. If you had Please crazy stop. Talent that was off yeah. the charts, we could put up with his bullshit.
Or if it was like Alex Smith playing for like the New York Giants, and you're like, all right, I understand NFL. You want your giant market to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
Or like, for example, fucking Jared Goff's Rams getting the worst pass interference no call of all time to get the Super Bowl because they wanted LA in the Super Bowl instead of the Saints.
I get that.
I don't necessarily understand the conspiracy theory that they need Kansas City, like the fucking 30th biggest city in the country.
And I can tell you this, the tickets really dropped for that, and inside the game, and it was because there wasn't a lot of Kansas City fans there, but
what was the
all Eagles. Holy shit. So here's why I say holy shit. It's been a while. I think Dan and I covered an Eagles game maybe 4 years ago. Insufferable. Just an insufferable fan base, to where half of these seats are corporate gigs because they're expensive.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people there just don't care. A lot of the wives are just there for the halftime show. Oh. And with Rihanna and stuff like that. So like, there was a few that were sitting in my row. It was all people who just wanted to see a good game. I had money on it, so it's a different story. But everybody else just kind of wanted to see a good game. And the rest of it was Eagles fans. And they were fucking insufferable the whole game, to the point where everybody had turned and they were like, man, I hope the Chiefs win just because I hate this fan base. And that's when it kind of turned. And I was like, oh, God. And all those cutaways you saw to the celebrities.
Yeah.
So they were sitting right behind us. We were right there. And like Nick Jonas and Bradley Cooper and all those guys. And LeBron, the LeBron thing was real, by the way. The stadium booed the shit out of him.
Really?
Oh, yes. So I know, because I read it on Twitter later, and I was like, man, I wonder if the TV caught it. And they were like, yeah, there's a million articles.
I didn't hear that on the TV.
Oh, you didn't?
Now, granted, I was dealing with like an infant and stuff. So I wasn't like super, I mean, I had the sound on, I wasn't super listening. Like, I was like listening to the, you know, the announcers and everything. And I saw them show LeBron, and I was like, whatever. I was actually like, why are you there? You're mid season.
And that's what my wife said. She goes, why is he here? And I go, well, he just broke the scoring record, and then he's got All-Star game. I think in his mind, he thought, all right, I just broke one of the hardest records in sports. Everybody's going to love me, and this is going to be rad.
Right.
And I, for whatever reason, the whole stadium just goes, boo! Right.
Like, I get him being there for the Rams winning the Super Bowl in L.A.,
LA,
he's a fucking Laker.
Yeah.
And I get him being there. It's really early in the NBA season, but I get him being there for the Indians World Series in 2016 that they lost to the Cubs.
Yep.
He's an Ohio kid. That all meant, even though he's a Yankees fan.
Or going to Ohio State games or Browns or Bengals or whoever.
His kid's getting recruited by Ohio State.
Yeah.
That all makes sense to me.
Yep.
He has no connection to these games.
No.
No connection to the city the game's being played in.
No. And the Philly fan
Unless
base.
Unless he just really wants to be traded to the Suns at this point.
I know. The Philly, which we'll get to, but the Philly fan base. Holy fucking shit, what a nightmare. I was just happy at the end that I didn't have to hear EAGLES, Eagles, Fly, Eagles, Fly, or the whole fucking song. They had bands there. They had like a high school band that was playing that theme song, and I was like, God damn, I felt like I was at a like a Penn State, Ohio State, but at Penn State, where I was just like, shit, this is loud. And it's Eagles fans, and they were all there, and you know, the team showed up, so it was a fucking blast all the way around.
What was the wildest in stadium moment?
So,
like, what did everyone react to the most in stadium?
The Rihanna sitch. Rihanna sitch for sure. So she got up there, and, you know, you can see everything that's going on because they're trying to set it up to come out of a commercial break and see her, right? So we got to see her first, and I looked at Jesse, I looked at my wife, and I go, hey, I don't mean to sound negative here, but is she pregnant or just really not giving a fuck about eating anyway? Like, just going for it. She goes, I don't know. Would you do a Super Bowl halftime show pregnant?
She would.
And she was. But
she is pregnant. Okay.
She is pregnant, and she announced it on Instagram like 10 seconds after she got off stage, like, hey, we're expecting, and all this other stuff. There was a lot of people who bitched about the halftime performance, and, you know, she wasn't moving and it was kind of boring or whatever. But
I did notice that. And
if you would have gone in, here's what I said. I go, if you would have gone in and said, hi, it's Rihanna, I'm pregnant, and I'm still going to do the show anyways, then it would have brought this whole girl power female thing. And
it would have been lauded as a top three Super Bowl halftime performance of all time. If she had said she's pregnant beforehand, which I respect that she didn't, by the way, to score kind of bonus points.
Now, here's where the audience started turning on her inside the stadium.
Okay.
When you start singing songs that are with Jay-Z, Kanye, Drake, and none of them come out, we all wanted them to come out. So everybody's kind of looking around of like, oh, they're going to come out now. And then to play All of the Lights, which is a Kanye song that she only sang the chorus on.
Right.
I mean, that's a full-on Kanye rap
song.
That
is not a Rihanna song.
It's not a Rihanna song. And people were just like, okay. Now, I will say this. Inside the stadium, being pregnant and seeing her 400 feet in the air, she was really high up there. It was like, oh, shit, that's wild. But other than that, I don't know what the vibe was at home.
It was mostly just like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
My favorite meme of the whole thing was turning it. Did you see the Super Smash Brothers meme?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. Because it looked like she was on like a platform, like 40
yeah,
feet,
she was.
50
was.
Feet in the air. Yeah. It looked like a Super Smash Brothers stadium.
That's great.
So that
it looked like that in real life.
Yeah. I mean, mostly like, I mean, it was me and my like almost 70-year-old mother and an infant child watching it at that point. So we were just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I don't care.
I don't know.
I like Rihanna. I do. I like Rihanna. But I was like, I'm like an old crank now where I'm just like, I don't care about the commercials were dog shit, by the way. The commercial, the Super Bowl commercials were fucking asshole.
Why? Because they're just too safe, too woke, too whatever. Like somebody was talking about there was the Jesus ads. Remember I was bitching about those a few weeks ago
and I was like,
who is running all these Jesus ads? And then I guess they were running them during the game last night
too. Was like one or two Jesus ads. However, most of the ones I even paid attention to were just like, they're not even trying to be funny anymore. It's the same thing as
I don't know if you can.
It's the same thing as Hollywood where they're just reboots.
Yeah.
Like they had a Zoolander commercial and they had like several other like just like remember these characters? Oh, now they're in a commercial. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it was bad.
Right.
It was bad.
All right. Well, the game was great.
That's all. That was the thing where I was just like, just play.
And
the
I was there.
Game,
well, I didn't see the commercials or anything else. So good on that. The other thing too, I'm going to stand up for Nick Sirianni here, the head coach of the Eagles.
National anthem tears.
Yes, there wasn't. I'm telling you this. Wasn't a dry eye in the entire stadium. I'm fucking crying. My wife is fucking crying. I don't know that I've ever heard somebody sing the national anthem like that where, I mean, it was just fucking phenomenal. And we don't know why. Like, we just, everybody just kind of burst into tears. And like, Chris Stapleton on, you know, a CD or fucking, you know, Apple or whatever the fuck you're listening to your shit on is always incredible anyways. I've seen him now twice live, full concert, and then this. It's a different person. It's like the male version of Adele or something where it's just, there's something that evokes emotion in you and you just start crying.
So
all of us were.
I had the same experience. I actually missed the national anthem for this, but I had the same experience when I went to the Super Bowl. That was the year Lady Gaga sang the national anthem.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She was great.
And I literally was like welling up the entire time. And I was like, not expecting it really. I was kind of drunk and I was just like, oh, the national anthem, obviously, you know, hand on heart, all this stuff. And Lady Gaga has a brilliant voice as well. Very, very different, but both brilliant voices.
Yes.
And I was just like, halfway through, oh my God.
I know.
This is the best
thing.
What?
And when they showed him on the Jumbotron crying, I'm crying. We're all crying. We're like, oh my God. I get it.
Just. Well, you know, I think a lot of times we've all been to like a million sporting events, right? Mm-hmm. And most of the time, you go to like a baseball game or even an NFL game, and they have a nice person singing the national anthem, right?
Yeah,
a nice voice.
Yeah,
fine.
Good
but
for
like,
you.
When you get, but at the Super Bowl in particular, like you get a fucking like elite.
You get the best of the
vocalist.
Best. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Someone who isn't just a beautiful voice, but knows how to emote perfectly, right? Because when you're singing like that, you're acting too, right? Like you're not. You're not just singing, like you're putting the emotion in the right places, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it gets you right in the fucking dick. Like
The other wild one was Cheryl Lee Ralph sang the Black National Anthem right before him, and she was very good as well. So I went with her to the White House. She was on my trip.
Okay.
From Abbott Elementary, and she sang in person when we were there at the White House, and she's an incredible singer as well.
Is she the principal?
She's Broadway. Yeah.
Okay.
But she's a big Broadway star. So she always has been for years. So if you were watching that and you were like, hey, dude, I didn't know the woman from Abbott Elementary could sing. She was a Broadway star first.
Right.
So that was secondary. But all of it all the way around in the stadium was great. Phoenix was beautiful. The roof was open. They didn't shut the roof.
Talking about the grass?
No.
Because that was a big thing on the broadcast.
Was it really? So no, nobody said anything about it. What was the story with the grass?
Nobody could get fucking footing.
Oh, really?
People were slipping constantly. The Eagles had to change out their entire fucking cleats at halftime.
No shit. Okay. Yeah. Was it the grass itself? Or yeah, I wonder if they had just left the dome
No,
open.
It was the grass. The grass was not, they weren't able to dig or something like that. And that, by the way, is a huge, you'll probably hear more about that when the World Cup comes to North America next time.
Yes, because they're playing at a bunch of these stadiums.
Soccer players fucking hate playing in the U.S. because they think our grass sucks and they can't play on field turf. You should not be playing grass on field or soccer on field turf, but they even our grass, they like the stuff that they, the turf they put down.
Yeah.
They're like, fuck this. Like, it needs to be like real rooted grass, not this shit you lay down.
Well, they did
before.
Show something before the game started inside the stadium of the process of them rolling it out.
Yeah.
And it's weird. It's kind of like a dome going over, but they just kind of remove it from the field and then they put it back on. And I was like, that can't be the best, but no complaints as far as like in the stadium wise.
Yeah.
I just thought, we all thought maybe because the dome was open, because I was surprised, like, why risk it? But it was a beautiful day. And they were like, no, we're just leaving the top open. And I was like, all right, shit, let's go. So yeah, no complaints there, but we just assumed that's what it was. So maybe it gotten moist or something. But
apparently it was just the grass hadn't really taken, or like whatever. And like they were showing at Cosley, people couldn't keep their foot.
Yeah, and then the last note on this Super Bowl wise is now that it's all said and done, and the Chiefs are champions and everything else, I think pretty much everybody agreed that I was with last night and this morning. We did get the best two teams in the Super Bowl.
Easily.
At the end of the day, that was the game that we were all hoping for. It was a great game from wire to wire, pretty much. And if you're the Chiefs and the Eagles, it's only up from here. I mean, Chiefs, go out, just get a couple receivers, maybe. Just try it, see how it works. Maybe draft a running back, you know,
honestly,
at the end of the first.
Fuck all that shit. Just draft defense.
Maybe
they don't even need receivers. Just draft like a crazy defense and you're good with your fucking like random collection of receivers that you have.
And if you're Tyreek Hill and you're watching that, I know the money was great in Miami. Is it worth leaving the greatest quarterback for
we were talking about this right before the show started. Every athlete in a lot of sports, like it's a thing in baseball, it's a thing in football, it's a thing in the NBA, right? Everyone's like, I want the respect of being the highest paid player or the highest paid player at my position or whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, because I am the best, so I want to be the highest paid. That's fine, and you'll be respected in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But no one in 20 years is going to be like, dude, don't you remember how he was the highest paid player in 2022?
Yeah.
No one. No one says that.
No.
They say, don't you remember how he has 3 rings, fucking 4 rings, or his stats?
Yep.
Right? Like, no one talks about how much money you made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I understand wanting as much money as possible.
I do too, but you get to a certain point, over 100, you're good. You know, like, either
over
way, you're
50.
I know. Well, I mean, but even if you're looking right. at, well, I want my respect.
Right.
Cool. Over 100, you're still good with
right.
all of that. And the biggest rumor I heard throughout the entire week from agents and ESPN guys and all that other stuff was Rodgers to the Raiders. Because he wants Devontae Adams again, and Devontae Adams wanted him back. So,
yeah. And by the way, Pat Mahomes right now has more Super Bowls than, like, I don't know, basically every elite quarterback in the NFL combined.
And he's 27.
Yeah, because Josh Allen has 0.
Yep.
Josh Burrow.
Yeah.
Or Joe Burrow has 0. Yep. Aaron Rodgers has 1. Lamar Jackson, 0. All the rest of the guys who are young and dope, fine, but 0.
Yep.
Like, Brady's retired, so he's gone. Who has more Super Bowls than Pat Mahomes in the NFL right now? Anyone?
I don't know who can beat him. And that's the thing is, like, if you're able to do it with these fucking scrubs.
Well, and
what do you do?
I'm arguably the best coach in football.
He was there at the Eagles with elite teams. In my opinion, you go back to those Donovan McNabb TO teams.
Yeah.
Probably better than what he has with the Chiefs.
I kind of think Andy Reid at the
Westbrook,
I think he got a little Atlanta Braves luck, you know what I mean? Just kept running into like hot teams in the playoffs at the like over and over again at the exact wrong time, and then he makes Super Bowl and it's against the fucking dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Like I mean, I know he had T.O. and stuff like that, but I think he had bad luck with the Eagles more than I mean, dude, and it takes luck to win championships.
Yes. Oh, it 100% does, because you got to stay healthy and all that other stuff. Now, if you're the Eagles, besides a Bijan Robinson, I think would be great for them. I don't know what you need to add on that team. You've great wide receivers. You've you got your quarterback. You got your tight end, Dallas Goedert, who replaced Ertz, Zach Ertz, when he left.
Goedert.
You have a great defense. You have a great offensive line. Maybe one more running back, and that's kind of it. I mean, there's zero notes for that team. Where's the Chiefs? Get a running back. Get some fucking receivers.
And
get some.
Unlike the Chiefs, the Eagles have good draft picks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, like, they could be
fine
for many, many years. And I think if you're an Eagles fan and you were at that game, if this is indeed your guy and it's going to be the guy and he doesn't get hurt, at what is he, 24, 25?
Yeah, this is the beginning.
Right. So, I think at least what my takeaway was, most Eagles fans were pretty amped at how close they were to winning. And how good Hurts was and all that stuff. So,
yeah. Dude,
he's ahead of schedule by a million miles.
It always sucks because you're like, fuck, man, like we were right there. You never know when you're going to be back.
You're right there. Dude. I know.
But like, they'll be back, especially because the NFC is ass.
Dog shit.
Ass.
But to your point, like you never know if you're getting back. And I look at that Falcons game. That was now 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like that.
And at the time, it was like, well, these Falcons, they're going to be good for a minute.
And I was like, I don't know, man.
By the way, speaking of those Falcons, this was the second time ever that a team has come back from double digits down at the half.
Which is why I said it. I've been at both games. I was at both games. It was 26-2 is the record of a team that was up by double digits at halftime. I was at both games.
Are they 0 for their last two, though?
Who?
Teams up double digits?
At halftime? Yes. Yeah. The Falcons, and then, yeah, last night the Eagles.
Because all the other ones are pretty close. I don't really remember off the top of my head.
No, just those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, guys. You are welcome. As always, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will double your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Now things are getting really fun because golf is in full swing. I've won the last two weekends in a row, which is fucking gnarly, dude. Had Justin Rose last week, and I had Scottie Scheffler over the weekend. My God, dude, I'm on fucking fire here. And you can bet on all of that on mybookie.com. We're doing this next coming weekend as well. These are like mini lottery tickets. I know football season is over. Golf is really fucking fun to bet on. UFC,
it's a blast,
is about to start kicking in here. So it's fun.
There's always college basketball if you need a little day-by-day action.
I can't wait for that either. So like now that football's over, I'm all in on college basketball. I'll start to move over to the NBA. We got the Daytona 500 this weekend, which I will be at as well. And those are a blast to bet on. Odds are super long. Those are like mini lottery tickets. And we'll be there in person for that. And I'll put bets up. I do it every single year in Drinking Bros Sports on Facebook. Just subscribe there. It's free, and it's a private page. Just don't be a dick. And all my betting slips go in there, and you can see all of them right before these games, including the Daytona 500 this weekend, which I've got to try to dig down deep here and get ready to hop back on a plane Thursday nights because we got fucking rock this weekend off the Hard AF Seltzers.
You just stay in the cellar.
I know.
You're drinking a Hard AF right now. You just don't get out of the cellar.
I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
I don't have a choice. And then, as always, if you want tickets to any of these events, go to drinkingbrostickets.com. They're there. We told everybody to go to Waste Management. I was unaware there was 400,000 people there. I didn't know that.
Over the whole weekend?
Over the day.
What the fuck?
Saturday, yeah.
Good Lord.
There was stadium seating on like half the holes. It was wild. One of the greatest, by the way, events that I've ever been to in my entire life, Waste Management. Incredible, but I told you guys, hey, go get tickets on drinkingbrostickets.com. They're super cheap, and then we'll just meet you there and fucking rage.
Blue Collar Masters.
So, dude, I met probably 15 Drinking Bros there. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And we were taking pictures and hanging out and drinking. It was a great time. The cops were fucking amazing here.
I saw all your cop pics.
Yeah, I'm going to give a shout out here to one of my boys here. There was another guy I'm going to post here tonight because he had a better mustache than me. And his cop grabs me in the stadium and he goes, yeah. Hey. I'm like, oh, fuck. And he goes,
what'd I do?
I was like, he goes, I got a better mustache than you. Son of a bitch. Alex Dyer, who's a cop out in Arizona, hooked us up on one of the holes out there, him and his wife, Stacy. So shout out to Alex and Stacy. Wonderful people out there. We had a great time in Phoenix for the entire week. And it was awesome. We'll be in Daytona next weekend, but that schedule is a little tight because it's for work, pretty much, except for the last day. Wink. Wink.
Hard wink.
Hard wink on that one. Speaking of the waste management, now, a lot of people hit me up in the DMs, and they were like, hey, dude, is the hype worth it, like what we're seeing on TV? Is that all the... And I'm like, yes, I can confirm it. That is one of the greatest sporting events to go to ever. It did not used to be like that, and that's what everybody kept telling me.
Yeah.
Even my dad was just like, hey, dude, I was there years ago just because it was next to the hotel, and none of it was like this. I've never seen a golf course tricked out like this. It felt like the strip on Vegas where there was just suites, bottle suites on every single hole.
Very Phoenix.
Yes, and it was incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I was all in
for
it.
Well, look, if you look at, it was on 16, actually. If you go look back, Tiger Woods' famous hole-in-one.
Yeah, I watched
where
it.
Where he goes,
Yeah.
Like, that is on 16.
Yep.
Look at that video, which from the late 90s, and then look at it now.
It felt like a fucking apartment complex was built on every hole. There was DJs, by the way. So every suite
had
a DJ, but I was like, are they not going to be distracted by this? Golf's a pretty quiet game.
Yeah.
And
this is, by the way, Delco Dan's perfect combination, right? DJs and golf.
You have no idea.
It's,
you have no idea. We'll ask him about when he gets back because these guys are driving back.
I'm
with
sad
camera
he's not
gear.
Here to just... I actually am sadder that I couldn't observe him in his just natural habitat.
I've never seen him smile or be impressed by anything. I've never seen Delco be impressed by anything or smile.
Yeah,
like when he's out. And he got into... I had to meet with this agent at another hole, and he got into the box before we did, and he goes, "Holy shit, dude! This is fucking next level. Like, this is incredible." And I was like, "Oh." Jesse was like, dude, if we're hearing this from Delco, it must be amazing, because he's not impressed by anything. When we got in there, he was like, holy shit, this is the greatest thing of all time. And I was like, it really was.
Yeah.
It really was.
If he's impressed, it's...
I was impressed.
Right.
I was impressed by all of it.
And you've been to
everything that you
Kentucky
could go to.
Derby, Super Bowl,
everything.
Blah, blah, blah.
This thing this weekend is the only major sporting event that I've never been to the Daytona 500.
Yeah.
That's the last one on the box, and that I can check.
For me, all sporting events are measured by the Kentucky Derby. Like, I've had a box at the Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
That, to me, is the measuring stick. And I've been to the Super Bowl, I've been to the Final Four, blah, 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 blah. You think the waste management is up there with...
If you're going to go to a sporting event like for the year, I would put that in my top five for sure.
Okay.
And look, the number one for me, though, was a special event. It was the Field of Dreams game, the first one with Kevin Costner. And like, I took my dad and like...
But that's...
Nothing will ever beat that.
Yeah.
But...
For a yearly thing.
But then I had Masters at two, right?
Okay.
I think you got to throw the Super Bowl in there, obviously. If you get a chance just to go and see it, it's amazing.
I think I think it's kind of a waste if it's not your team, or go once, no matter what. But like, I would go to the Kentucky Derby every year.
Yes.
I wouldn't go to the Super Bowl every year.
Yeah, I would definitely go to the Kentucky Derby every year if I could. I would go to the waste management if I could.
That's what I'm saying. So like, that's
Holy
the type of
shit,
thing
it's
where
fun.
It's like the Kentucky Derby, if I could, I would go every year.
Yeah.
Every year. The Super Bowl, I've been. Great. I would go again if it's a... I don't even care about any NFL teams. So I would go again if it was a team I cared about, I guess.
Right.
That's what I wonder about the waste management. Is it like on... And the Masters, you would go every year if you go every year, right?
Yeah. And here's the difference with it. With the Masters and like waste management, it is polar opposite. So you have...
It's blue collar Masters.
10,000 people, you know?
Yeah.
Like 10,000, so nobody's there. You feel like you're on a private course with yourself and some other people. It is beautiful and endless, and like it's incredible. There's not one box, there's not one suite, there's not nothing.
It's
you're
like
putting
a couple
your
cabins. That's it.
Yeah, yeah. You're putting your chair down, and you're in your chair, and then you can walk around all day.
Yeah,
but you're not in any form of suite whatsoever. There's no phones. There's no thing. This felt like Coachella. I'm not kidding. They're like,
oh, waste management felt like.
Yes, there was women that were dressed up. Social media was at its peak.
Yeah,
selfie sticks, videos, things like.
That's glorious.
It felt like Coachella at a golf tournament. And I turned to Delco at one point and I said, dude, If they made golf this fun for everybody in real life,
right?
Game changer.
So
for
here's
golf.
My question: is that kind of the future of sports? Like, obviously,
that's what I said to him. I said it's a game changer for golf. If you do this, or if you did it at a baseball game,
I would say you can't really do it for football, basketball, but for baseball, you could potentially
sure
do
could.
That.
Yes, and that's my recommendation if you're going to try to keep this going. The party's got to be about everything else that's going on, because golf is the same way as baseball. It's kind of boring to watch a little bit, but when all that other stuff is going on and then the guys get to the hole and you're letting them
you get queued
scream
up, you,
yeah. their faces right. off and you know yell fuck you and all this other shit, like, which they let that go there, and I was like, this is fucking rad. So yeah, it's definitely a top fiver for me for sure, and I would go back every year if I could. I mean,
I'll tell you what, man. I was watching like all your stories and shit like that. I was just like, fuck. Like, I've been to a lot. I have seen you guys go to a lot of things I haven't gone to, and I've been to a lot of dope sporting events myself.
Yeah.
That was probably the only time I have been like, motherfucker, I really wish I was there.
If that was a company outing every year, I'd be amped about it.
Yeah.
I'd be amped.
That looked fucking incredible.
So it was fun. All the heavy hitters were out there. Something that Delco had said in the past, that they were going to start upping some of these purses. They did. So the purse for this was $4 million.
That's wild.
So you had all the big guys there.
Oh, yeah.
Every big guy was there except for the guys that went over to live, obviously. And because of that, it made the match even better, the tournament even better, where you got to see endless people that you knew where you're just like, oh, shit, this is awesome. This is awesome. This is awesome. So really, really great time. Phoenix itself was great. It's one of those where you're like, oh, shit,
should we move there?
Should we move here?
It's so weird. Like, You just think Phoenix is just like Satan's asshole, just like a dry, dusty asshole.
Yeah.
And then you get there and you're just like, this is the best place I've ever been in my life.
I had a couple of meetings at night and
because at night, by the way, it's glorious at night.
I know.
The heat completely dissipates.
It was like
at
40
night.
At night.
And it's like, so you have to wear shorts and a t-shirt during the day.
Yeah.
But if you are more of a pants and sweater guy, just wait till sundown.
That's the evening.
Yeah.
That's the evening.
You're good to go.
So every meeting I took at night, same thing, was some form of flannel or long sleeve, right? And jeans.
Right.
And then in the day, it was shorts and t-shirts. Great time there. Thanks for everything, for all the drinking bros that were there and all that stuff. Absolute blast. I would love to go back every single year. It was that much fucking fun. We'll flip on over here to college basketball. I know you guys are covering college here. And this is where I tune in, because now I'm in, right? And so I always want to look at the number one team.
Now it's kind of jockeying for position.
Right.
And we're real close.
So Bama's number one in the AP Top 25. You guys have said for most of the year that you thought Bama was number one in the country.
I personally,
and then they are.
Bama is I have $100 on Bama to win at like 10 to 1.
Okay,
right,
so
now.
So let me ask you this then. Because at two, so Bama got 38 first place votes. They're one.
Yeah.
Houston got 22 first place votes, and they're at two.
Okay. Houston's also fantastic, and I could see them winning it all.
Okay. Purdue at three, I don't necessarily agree with. I've seen some Big Ten games, obviously, for Ohio State. They're good enough, but I don't think they can
Purdue
win a
is,
championship.
They might make it out of the first weekend just based on their seed, because they're going to get a really high seed.
Yep.
But I have no faith in Purdue.
Now, here's an interesting one at four that you guys have been really high on all year, and that's UCLA.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dan has.
Okay. So, I mean,
I'm not as high on UCLA.
But the teams that you guys
I think they
said
kinda
weeks ago are now in the top five here. So you guys have been pretty pretty dead on.
I love Alabama. So I've watched Alabama a fair amount because Missouri plays in the SEC, and I've watched Alabama play Missouri, and I've just watched Alabama play a lot. That team is fucking flawless to me for the most part. They got blown out randomly at Oklahoma, but you know what? College basketball, the long season, it happens. UCLA, a very good team regardless. Like, they have quite a few pieces that made the Final Four a couple years ago. I wouldn't bet on them leaving the tournament early, barring a really just bad matchup.
Okay.
I like both those teams, and I like Houston a lot, but Purdue, me and Dan have been saying the whole time, Purdue just out.
And I agree with that. I've seen a couple of their games this year just due to Big Ten for me watching Ohio State stuff, but Bama, ironically, the only game I've seen this year was the one that they lost by 30.
To Oklahoma?
Yep. That was the only game I watched. Kansas. I've watched Kansas twice this year, and they've gotten smoked.
Yep.
Both times.
I like Kansas.
You do like Kansas.
I don't like Kansas as a person. Like, as a Missouri fan, I don't like Kansas. Kansas is suffering from the fact that they play in the Big 12.
Okay.
And the Big 12 is fucking brutal.
Well, so they're, by the way, they're at 5, and then Texas is at 6, to your points. And then you got Virginia, Arizona, Baylor, another Big 12 school. Tennessee, Marquette, and then Kansas State's another Big 12 school at 12.
Big 12's brutal. Yeah. And by the way, for everyone that likes to shit on us for saying that the SEC is the best at football, and then we can't admit that there might be another conference as good at football, blah, blah, blah. I have no problem admitting that the Big 12 is the best basketball conference by far. It's not even close. Like, that conference is fucking brutal this year and most years. I can admit it because I see it and I admit it. And that, like,
Kansas is good every single year, though. I mean, every year, if you say, all right, great, I'm going to pick Kansas to win the tournament, you could say that for the last 30 years and, mm-hmm. and have been fine.
Oh, yeah. So Kansas, I think, is going to do really well in the tournament, and here's why. And here's why I think they're a little underwhelming this year in the regular season. They're not very deep.
Okay.
They don't have a ton of depth. They have really good players. Like, Dick is the prototypical Kansas asshole. He actually is almost like a Duke asshole, but like a white guy who just hits all the shots, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, real scrappy.
Yeah.
Gonna get a steal. Pisses you off. They're not very deep, but they have a lot. Their 5-6 guys are really good. But because they're not deep, they're getting punished in the Big 12 a little bit, because you need depth to play in a league that is that brutal. Like, that is that everyone's good, right? They're going to get to the tournament, and it's going to feel easier than their league play has felt. So I foresee a deep Kansas tournament run.
Okay.
I think
it's hard for me to bet against Kansas every year. So
you shouldn't.
I
hate them, and you shouldn't.
I know. The one Kansas game I watched, other than the two that they lost, no, actually, it was during the game that they lost. Bill Self actually looked at his assistant coach, and he said, they're better than us. Oh, he goes, this team is better than us.
Yeah.
And it was caught on camera. And
who were they playing?
I forget, but they were getting worked by like 20.
Yeah.
And I was like, he just goes, oh, they're better than us. And it seemed like he was fine with it.
Dude, I mean,
a game. And I was like, holy shit.
The Big 12 is fucking loaded. Like, that is such a... The Big 12 in basketball is probably a more brutal conference than the SEC in football right now.
West Virginia is usually always good.
They're pretty bad this year.
Okay.
I think they just kind of don't have the dudes. But, I mean, I foresee Kansas making a deep run. I still love Alabama to win it all.
Okay.
Tennessee's had a rough week. I don't know if you saw what happened to Tennessee, but they lost 2 buzzer beaters.
Yeah. Look, they're still at 10, and I think the committee took that into consideration.
They'll be
the
fine,
voters.
But they probably cost themselves a 1 seed.
Because of those 2 games?
Yeah.
Which are brutal. I mean, those were miracle shots.
Yeah.
Gonzaga's not looking great this year at 21-5. Big Ten is dog shit this year in basketball, which typically they're very good every year.
Well, they're still ranked the second conference overall.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's mostly... It's a heavy middle. There's not a lot of top this year in the Big Ten, but they just have a lot of like pretty good teams.
Well, Ohio State is usually pretty good at basketball, and they're terrible this year. So I don't even know that they will make the tournaments.
They're probably on the outside.
I think they're 11-12 or 11-13 right now.
Yeah.
I think they've got to fire the coach and move on. I personally think LeBron James is going to pick the coach. I'm not kidding. I think his kid
to get Bronny in there.
I think his kid will end
See,
up going there anyway.
Go well,
and they're gonna no, it doesn't. It never goes well.
You don't want LeBron James picking your coach.
I don't even think he's good enough to play start on a Division I team like
Bronny's
Ohio State.
Bronny's a 4-star.
He's a 4-star, but is he good enough?
He's not good enough to dictate anything.
I know his high school. It's super white out there in Santa Monica.
So was LeBron's.
Maybe.
So was LeBron's.
Maybe.
LeBron's is a pretty white school. And dude, by the way, Jason Tatum played for my high school's rival school, which is like the whitest fucking school on earth.
Okay. Maybe. Like, well, we'll see.
Actually, you should be more scared of the black guys that play for really white high schools, because that high school recruited that dude.
Marquette's in here. Indiana's in here. Miami, Xavier, St. Mary's, Creighton. Not shocked by these guys. Iowa State, another Big 12 team. UConn is in there. San Diego State, TCU, another Big 12 team. Jesus Christ.
Big 12's gnarly.
It's like 8 teams. NC State, Providence, and then rounding out the top 25 is FAU.
First. Yeah. You know who FAU just boxed out?
Who?
Missouri.
Oh, did they
Missouri's
really?
Missouri's 26. We just beat Tennessee on the road. We were Tennessee's second buzzer beater.
But, if you get in, you're fine.
We're in the tournament. We're fine. Don't worry about that. But I was a little annoyed that we couldn't get a number next to him. Honestly, like, this is one of those years where the AP rankings barely fucking matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just get in.
Just get in. Yeah. It's going to be a wacky ass year. I love Alabama. I think Houston is always a team that is fucking, like, just difficult. They're the new, like I say every week, they're the new Syracuse.
Okay.
Where it's just like, if you play them every week, or you play them every year, you're used to them. But all these teams that never see them before, like, they don't know what they're doing, and Houston's like an automatic Sweet 16 team, the way Syracuse used to be. Love UCLA. St. Mary's is a really good team that is underranked, I would say, at this point.
Yeah.
It's going to be a wild one this year.
And the Final Four is in Houston this year, right down the road. Might pop on down there depending upon who the games are. We'll flip on over to this New Mexico State story.
Yeah.
What happened there?
So there's like some fun hazing allegations with the team that are sexual in nature.
Better than the Wisconsin women's volleyball team or no?
Worse, I would say. Less sexy.
All right.
This is more in line with, do you remember the Rough Net Odor stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All his friends jacking him off.
Yeah.
While he was like, stop it, I hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
But this guy did hate it. Unlike Rough Net Odor, who did not. So essentially, no one's named in the police. Like, there's stuff blacked out still, but the allegations are out there. So essentially, one player filed a report to campus police. He didn't want to press charges, but he wanted to, I guess, have it on the record or something. Three-ish players would routinely pin him down.
Okay.
Take his pants off.
All right.
Spank him.
Okay.
And touch his scrotum.
Okay.
Sometimes while the rest of the team watched.
Okay.
And this may have also happened to another player.
Another dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
All dude on dude.
No jacking off each other.
Just random scrotum touching and spanking.
That's pretty par for the course for college. Nothing crazy there.
You know, in and of itself, I'll say this.
It's humiliating.
In and of itself, the spanking... The fact that he's reporting it means that, I suppose the context of the spanking doesn't matter, right? Uh-huh. Because if he didn't report it and someone just was like, yeah, I heard they spank each other.
Yeah.
Then the context matters, because then the other guy could be like, oh, yeah, they spanked me and whatever. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I've been paddled, right? I didn't report that to campus police. I thought it was funny.
Sure.
It was fine.
Sure.
It was fine.
Yeah.
If I didn't think it was fine, I may have reported it.
Right.
This guy did not think it was fine, and thus he reported it. And also then there's the fact that someone got in there pre or mid spanking and was just like,
yeah, tickling his scrot. Yeah,
which is just really uncalled for.
Sure. Sure.
I would have been less okay with that. Quite a bit less okay with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if someone was paddling me.
Whoopsies.
Yeah. If I get paddled and I'm like, all right, everyone got paddled, it's fine. But then some random guy, one of them, was just like, I want to touch your scrotum.
Yeah.
Things might change.
Well, I got thrown out a fucking window during hazing. So, like, you know.
Was your scrotum touched as you were thrown out the window?
Because
I got to tell you, I'd rather be thrown out a window than have my scrotum touched by a random.
It was a lot of glass. A lot of glass, friend. I would rather him touch my scrotum.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was a closed window.
Sure was.
Okay.
Sure was.
Okay. Well, that I didn't realize.
And that was the point. I was ready to walk. But scrot touch, a little twiggle. Who knows? But they end up shutting down the whole program, right? For the year.
The whole program shut down for the year.
Sad.
Everybody's transferring out. Previous New Mexico State players from like a year or two ago were like, yo, we didn't do this. So, and apparently it was literally like three or four dudes doing it to one or two dudes. And college basketball teams, I think like 12 to 15 guys.
Uh-huh.
And the guy was saying like the rest of them would just watch or ignore it, thinking it was weird or I don't want any part of this type of thing. So it was literally just like three or four guys getting fucking psycho. On these one to two guys.
Sure.
So
that's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. I don't think they're making the tournament.
No, I don't either. I don't either. We'll switch on over to baseball here. Sources are saying that the extra inning, extra runner rule is going to remain. I thought they were going to ditch that.
So
I'm not a fan of this at
all. Dan Holloway is not here.
He's nuts.
Dan Holloway, I believe, hates that rule.
I hate it as well.
You hate that rule as well.
Yeah. Can't stand it.
I fucking love it.
Do you really? Putting a guy in second to start off the extras?
I hate extra innings so much. Bro. Okay. Look. I don't want to flex. I don't want to be like Big Dick you or anything like that.
Sure.
And I couldn't Big Dick Holloway on this, but like I watch a lot of baseball games. Mm-hmm. Okay. 9 innings is a long time.
It is. It is.
I can't do more than 11.
Well, get
like,
it out.
I fucking need it to end at some point.
I did too, but get it out of there then for postseason. That's what I
it
would
is
say.
Out of there, like, postseason.
All right. So this
it's
is
not
just
in the postseason.
This is just going to be regular
yeah,
season.
Yeah, so it's, right. It's similar to, and by the way, everyone loved this when the NHL did it,
mm-hmm.
where the NHL was like, we're not doing regular overtime rules for regular season. It's just too long. We'll do 1 5-minute overtime and then a shootout. Boom. Done.
All good to go. Yeah.
Because it's a point system
yeah.
and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
That makes sense. Now, if you want my real way to make people more interested in baseball, and I pitched on the show before, it is, I guess, a point system to an extent where you don't win games, you win series. Right.
And by the way, I 100% agree. We interviewed a couple baseball players out in Arizona, and they were like, yeah, that'd be great.
Right.
And I was like, then everybody's got to fucking play. And I was like, yes.
Then everybody's got to play. And by the way, the tiebreaker would be just games won.
And do it to the NBA as well.
Oh,
because
God.
Then that eliminates load management.
Yep.
So you're all good there.
Yep.
And if you want to load management, yep. great. But then you got to win the next two.
But by the way, it is worth it to not fuck up your bullpen in the regular season. Like, this is better for your team to have a runner on second.
Right.
Like, it is legitimately... And both teams have... The only downside you could say is that it does kind of flip the advantage to the away team because they get to go first. And if they score, that is just an immense amount of pressure,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's an obscene amount of pressure on the home team.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's better to bat last. It's kind of not, it's debatably not with a man in second. In general, though, for both time considerations and the fact that extra innings are just ass, yeah, keep it. And by the way, for fans in the stands that want to stay for the game, they stopped selling booze in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
So it is a nightmare
yeah.
if you're staying there. For. Yeah. And I have watched multiple, like 15, 16, 17, 18 inning games. I can't do it.
Yeah,
it's awful. It's
I understand
awful.
It. At least the Super Bowl, the bar was going all night. They didn't stop serving until the end of the game, which
that's
is great.
The way.
Like, let's go.
It's the way it should be.
It's fucking awesome. We'll flop on over to the NBA here. What a wild week of trade.
I know.
Deadline shit that went down, man. It was so much that it was hard to process because, like, you know, we were doing 4 or 5 shows a day, and then you're coming out of it, and you're like, wait, who? Him?
What, where?
There? Yeah. Yeah. KD.
What Nets player? Where?
So we were in Phoenix, and a ton of Suns fans that live out there love the team there, and they were amped. And I said, hey, man, I heard a rumor that you guys are going to get KD. And they were like, no fucking way. And I was like, yeah. Now, the rumor initially was they had to give up Chris Paul. Because Chris Paul's getting older, expiring contract and all that stuff that made sense to me. They got to keep Chris Paul. They kept everybody in
yep.
this fucking deal.
Yep.
What's stopping them from winning it all now?
Nothing.
Denver, maybe? Like, just because they play great team ball?
Denver ain't those dudes.
That's what I think, too.
The Suns are going to win the championship.
That's what I think, too. And when I looked at this team, I was like, you don't even need him to do anything other than
honestly,
just be Kevin Durant.
Now KD gets to win a championship where he is the dude.
Is he, though? Because you got Booker. Booker's all world.
Booker's fine.
You got Chris Paul. You have DeAndre Ayton. I mean, there's so many fucking
None of them
are there.
Dudes. This ain't like the Warriors. This isn't like the Warriors where, you know, like Curry, Draymond. You know, and they'd already won.
Yeah.
They already
and
won.
Klay Thompson.
Right? They'd yeah. already won. Yeah. Like, yeah. these dudes haven't won.
Yeah.
They got close. They should have won, but they didn't win.
The only thing for me, because then Kyrie got traded to Dallas, I thought that was a very odd move. Two guys who essentially do kind of the same sort of thing on the same team.
That is a totally inconsequential move.
It's bizarre, right?
Nothing.
Why would you do that?
Well, sells tickets for Dallas, I guess. So that
it does, but they're, I'll say this because, you know, owning a ticketing company, like, dude, the Dallas Mavericks, Dallas everything. Stars, Cowboys, and Mavs sell the, those are the highest prices in America, and it's nuts. That area that they all live in, like Frisco, Dallas, Arlington, all that shit is super rich
anyways. And by the way, the American Airlines Arena, that is, it's very rare you go into an arena and think like, wow, this is a great stadium.
Yeah.
Like all arenas kind of look the same.
Yeah.
American Airlines, I was like, this is actually like very awesome.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Like it'll bring asses to the seats. I just don't know how that helps your team. I thought it was a weird move. What I heard afterwards, by the way, was the Nets owner, the rumor was, hey, dude, I will literally trade you anywhere except for the place that you don't want to go. So, like, L.A. is gone now. You've ruined that. Yeah. Fuck you. And I'll just take the best deal possible.
Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving sucks.
I want this me era. I posted this on Twitter and it got a lot of traction. But I just said I want this me era to be over with. This LeBron, KD, Kyrie era that we've been in for like the last 15 years. I want it over. I feel like they're holding all of their teams and teammates hostages and by this stupid fucking shit. They want to be traded every fucking 2 years to all these teams.
It's
like
fucking dumb.
Dumb. Just stay in one place and fucking win. I don't really get it.
It's the only sport that it happens in, by the way, really.
I know.
Like it's baseball players don't do it. Football players don't do it.
Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, I guess, is the only two that I can.
Right. And look where it's got Aaron fucking Rodgers.
Both of them.
Yeah. Like, look where it's got him. Fucking nowhere. And it's going to get Kyrie nowhere. Yeah. Kyrie has no rings on its own. That is, I obviously hit that huge three, but that is LeBron's ring.
Right.
KD, no rings on his own. He's about to get one, probably. And he will be the alpha. Like
I'll tell you this. The rest of the league and world and everything else will look at that and be like, congrats, you just joined another super team. I don't think he'll ever get his due unless he drops 50 a game in the finals.
Yeah. It's, you know, what I really want, I hope the Nuggets win the championship. Because what I really want, Jokic deserves, he is the best player in the NBA.
He's going to win his third straight MVP, and there's nothing you can do to stop that.
And he deserves it.
Yeah.
And honestly, he's been a little, he's gotten some bad luck. Like, Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray have not been healthy the last 2 years concurrently.
Yeah.
And if they stay healthy, like, that is a good
championship team, potentially.
With everyone else that's there.
And especially if you were playing, let's say, Boston. Because Boston's the same way, where I think it's just a good team.
Yeah.
Denver has a good team as a whole.
Yep.
Nobody bitches with one another. They all seem to get along.
Yep.
Milwaukee is a good team. I think Sixers are hard to judge because of Harden. But before he got there, you know, like Embiid and those guys seem to all get along, and it seemed like a good team. Whereas this Suns team is just fucking nasty.
They're nasty, but do you kind of think we're past like the super team thing to an extent? Like, because I don't think the Warriors are a super team in the way that the Heat or the like OG Celtics with Pierce and Garnett I don't think those were super teams. I don't think the Warriors were super team because it was all scheme. They just had elite players in that scheme. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think now we're getting away from the point where you can just have a star in the NBA or two stars in the NBA and you're going to win.
Yeah.
I don't think if that was true, the Rockets might have. It feels to me like it's almost like the NFL, right? With Mahomes, where it's like you need an actual fucking plan.
And I think we'll have that answer this year. If Denver stays healthy, if Boston stays healthy, if the Bucks stay healthy, because I think the Bucks could have won it last year if Homeboy doesn't get hurt.
The Bucks winning it, they had Giannis.
Yeah.
And Giannis is elite, but that was a team.
It's a team.
They had a plan. Yep. It was a team. It was not.
And it's been a slow build.
If your second best player is Chris Middleton, not a super team.
Yeah. And he was hurt last year.
Yeah.
And they still got close.
Yeah.
So with this, I hope all these teams stay healthy, Denver in particular, because it seems like they're never healthy in the playoffs.
Fucking ever.
And so it's going to be fun to watch, at least. And I'm amped about that. But as far as all these trades went down, the one on the way back burner that nobody was talking about last week was D'Angelo Russell to the Lakers. He's a great player.
I love him. I know he's a young guy.
It's not that, because he was only there for 1 year, so we didn't really get a full experience from him.
Right.
So I and truthfully, even when he was at Ohio State, I thought he was good. I didn't think he was that good.
He was no Mike Conley.
No. So I didn't know how he would do in the NBA. It turned out to be really fucking good, because my only experience of him was when he got to L.A., And then he was recording shit in the locker room with homeboy. And I was Swaggy P. And I was like, well, fuck this guy. So was everybody else.
Yeah.
He's obviously matured and grown up and all that stuff. Because I think he hit the Lakers at 19 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, oh, yeah. It was wild.
And that was when they were like in their down Kobe years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like it was a post-championship. Yeah. Kobe was just kind of playing out his career.
Yeah.
Not ideal Laker time.
And with the Lakers, I mean, I watched these teams. Even we watched LeBron break the scoring record the other night.
By the
nobody cared. Like nobody cared,
but he did that in like 200 less games than Kareem.
He did, but there was no 3-point line for Kareem. So
Kareem wasn't shooting threes.
We don't know if he would have sky hooked a three. Who knows? But to do it in that time period, like, yeah, I mean, look, LeBron's got a ton of fucking 3-pointers. So
Jordan probably should have the record, but
same thing.
That's what you get for retiring for 4 fucking years in the middle of your career.
I know. God knows what he could have done.
Right. But that's his fault.
Yeah, it is. And it's unbelievably impressive what LeBron has done. But watching that game felt very LeBron to me, where they didn't win.
Yep.
Didn't seem like they cared if they win. Oh, and then they stopped the game in the third quarter.
You know what it felt like? It felt like Barry Bonds hitting 756.
Yeah. yeah. Everybody's like, okay. Sweet.
And obviously, LeBron's not a Bonds level of whatever. You know what I mean? Everybody's on something, but LeBron's not Barry Bonds, right? Like, he's not some fucking like egregious cheater, but like, it just felt like.
Very odd. Kareem hates LeBron too. And so seeing that awkward moment where they told him to pass the torch basketball, like,
there's no.
All of it was so staged.
There's no two more opposites.
I know.
And it's such a tragedy because LeBron James is physically the best NBA player of all time.
That's the best body of an NBA player I've ever seen.
Yep. And by the way, he's such a good passer that I would say probably a top 10 mentally.
Oh, look, if you're looking at his stats, he's number one in scoring. He's already top 5 in assists.
Yeah.
Rebounds, he's going to be probably maybe top 20 up there, top 30 of all time. You just hate him.
He is physically perfect, mentally elite.
Yep.
Emotionally absolute dog shit.
Yeah. And to see an entire stadium boo him for no reason, seemingly, just that, because all they said was LeBron James is here, and they're going through celebrities on the Jumbotron.
Although,
and an entire stadium just booing the shit out of him.
It's in the stadium of Eagles fans.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that.
Who are they not booing?
Yeah, that's true. God, those Eagles fans. Insufferable, dude. Just. Nothing made me happier than that. Even my wife was just like, I don't. She goes, I don't care who wins this game. I just don't want to hear this anymore. Sure, I was like, me neither.
They need to be quiet.
Shut the fuck. It's just nonstop. I was amped when they lost that game for no other reason than that. obviously, I had a lot of money on it, but yeah, dude. If you're getting booed inside of an NFL stadium during the Super Bowl, shit's bad.
But in general,
the Jonas Brothers, people went nuts for. And I was like, oh, the Eagles fans like the Jonas Brothers? Like, the fuck?
But like, you have a job, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's the middle of the season.
Unless, are they there this week or like, how does
I don't
that work
know.
Out?
I guess I could check the schedule, but like, you are, it's mid season.
Yeah. Who the Lakers playing?
And you're
this
not even in the playoffs right now.
No, he's got to go to fucking Portland. They're playing Portland on the road tonight. And he's at the Super Bowl last night.
That's egregious.
If he sits out tonight too for Loge Mantle, that would be so LeBron.
It's indefensible. Fucking defensible.
God damn, that's far. You're going to go to Portland.
It's across the country.
I know. It's fucking. Jesus Christ, that's insane. But there was one interview that it will not air. Will not air on this show. Yeah. And it was Walker Buehler.
The best butt in baseball.
The pitcher for the Dodgers. We had a fun interview and it was pretty wild. And his agent scrapped it. I asked him about Trevor Bauer and that was a no-no, I guess.
Yeah.
I said, what? You're a pitcher? He's a pitcher? You guys are on the same team?
Same film room.
He's not suspended anymore. He can play, right?
Right.
So?
Not suspended.
What's happening to Trevor Bauer?
Oh, boy. Future Pittsburgh Pirate, maybe. Who knows?
I'm not sure what's going to happen with that
guy. I don't think anyone's going to sign him, to be quite honest.
I wonder.
I think.
He's so good. Like, is it worth somebody taking a flyer this year towards the playoffs? Would you be pissed off if the Braves did it towards the end of the year?
Well.
There we go.
Here's my problem with that, only in so much as like he hasn't pitched in like 3 years. So if they raw dog signed him halfway through the season, mm-hmm. as like a trade deadline acquisition,
yeah,
I'd be pissed because like who knows what he's gonna do?
Who knows what you're gonna get?
So this dude needs. Dude, Trevor Bauer is probably going to be pitching in a Mexican league and then maybe some MLB team who really needs some help takes him at the trade deadline or whatever. But my guess is Trevor Bauer is not pitching in America for a while.
Okay.
Do you remember the Oregon State pitcher
mm-hmm.
who had like some kitty molestation situation?
Yeah, you can say child molestation.
Yeah, he's still pitching in Mexico or something like that.
Yeah.
He'll never get signed here because his stuff was like... Real.
Yeah.
But my guess is Bauer probably goes to pitch somewhere else and then maybe gets signed here.
Okay. We'll see. I think somebody will take a flyer this year. That's just a guess.
Look, it's only February, and I know pitchers and catchers report in like, I think days, like a week or two.
Oh, yeah. That's coming up.
But like a year or two ago, I mean, free agents weren't getting signed until spring training started.
Yeah.
So it depends.
Yeah.
My guess is, honestly, you want a real honest answer? If I had to mm-hmm. just like blindly put money on something, the Yankees.
Mm, I could see it.
They have a weak staff. They do not have a deep staff.
And if you can get them, you know, you paid a gajillion dollars for...
Oh, they can pay the league minimum because the Dodgers are paying him a salary.
Yep.
So they can pay him 500 grand.
Yeah.
That's all the Dodgers are paying him.
So it could work out.
Yeah.
It could work out. First thoughts on next year here before we get out of here. Who do you got it next year? Way too early prediction here for NFL.
Dude, I mean, at this point, the Chiefs are a dynasty. They have entered dynasty mode.
I know.
So what do you want? Like, think about it this way. Here's Patrick Mahomes' entire career. Lose in overtime on shitty rules to the Tom Brady Patriots.
Yep.
Win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Go to the Super Bowl. Lose because half your offensive line is dead.
Yep.
Lose in overtime in the AFC Championship game again.
Mm-hmm.
Win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He has lost zero AFC Championship games in regulation.
I know.
And he's 2-1 in the Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Andy Reid is still the coach. They are in dynasty mode.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Give me the fucking Chiefs.
So, other than the Chiefs, because I was thinking about this on the drive over from the airport, the only other one that I think makes sense is the 49ers if they can get a quarterback.
Yes. Yes.
Keep that defense together, because then you're talking about the same shit. And again, they were on the field for 40 fucking minutes in that Eagles game and still only gave up.
And they had no quarterback.
Right. But here's the thing. They still, 40 minutes on the field for a defense is a lot. That's the most I've ever heard of.
Especially by the way, during the Super Bowl, when they were talking about time of possession and stuff like that, mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? In a normal game, I'd be worried about this.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs are getting a full-ass, like, 30-minute break at halftime.
And they just score at will. I mean, it almost seems like if they just try to win, they can win every game. I know I've said this for years in this show, but I'm trying to look at other teams outside of the Chiefs because I agree with you. I think we are in dynasty mode for Chiefs. I think the only team out there, I mean, look, the Eagles will be there again.
I
mean, the only problem is I heard they got a bunch of free agents and it's going to be hard to keep. I mean, they're elite on both sides where it's like, it's going to be hard to keep a lot of those guys together.
You know, based on just the moves they made this season and in the offseason and stuff like that, they clearly have a good front office.
The Eagles?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm not worried about them remaining competent on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about them. I think they're the best team. And again, like we said, the NFC is ass.
Yes.
Who's the second best team? The fucking Vikings or the Niners?
Niners.
The Niners with a quarterback.
Yep.
Which they don't have right now.
Right. So I think that's kind of it for next year. And then, look, I think Burrow will be there. I think Buffalo will be there still.
I'm a little out on Buffalo right now.
I know. A lot of people are. And it's like, look, we get into the same conversation that we've had for, you know, years on this show about a running quarterback. And that's what Josh Allen is as well. And I don't know. We'll find out. But he's got to do something now because Burrow at least went to a Super Bowl.
Yep. He won a conference championship.
Sure did. Sure did, and a lot of people said he could have done it again this year if one game where a guy almost died on the field didn't happen. Because, I mean, look, if that doesn't happen and they win that game,
the entire
Bengals have a bye.
Yep.
Then they have a home field the rest of the way, and they
and
only have to play two games.
I think they probably beat the Bills in that game.
So do I.
Be quite honest.
So do I. The Bengals fans are the only ones with a legitimate gripe. I think the Bengals will be there regardless. The only problem is AFC, like you were saying, is it's really fucking hard. NFC is your best shot. 49ers, though, who's out there? Brady?
No, Brady's done.
Brady did file papers, allegedly.
I think he's done.
Rodgers? I mean, fuck. Rodgers on the 49ers would be incredible.
Honestly?
Lamar Jackson?
I don't want to sound like a fucking asshole.
Go ahead.
Even Derek Carr is enough.
He might be for real, because he's good enough.
He's enough,
and he's a good
if
enough.
Garoppolo was enough to get him there.
Yeah, yeah. But all I heard this week out of there was Derek Carr to the Jets. I heard that a lot.
Barf.
I know. It's gross.
If you're Derek Carr, you're insane to do that.
Yeah. And then the coach they added, who's the passing game coordinator, is Todd Downing. That just happened today. The Jets hired him. He was Derek Carr's guy. So.
Fine. Dude, if Derek Carr wants to do that, that's his own fucking mistake. Like, he's more than welcome to go. It's like going to the Mets. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Have fun, Justin Verlander. You idiot. You should have stayed in the Astros. But, like... The Niners are clearly like, oh, you have every toy possible. Why go? And Derek Carr is not bad.
Like, no. Like,
he's not elite, but he's not bad.
He's fine. Somebody else pitched Ryan Tannehill potentially to the Niners. Another game manager, maybe.
I hate that. Give me.
He's never had any fucking receivers, so I don't.
Tannehill.
I've never seen him with receivers.
He hasn't.
He didn't have him in Miami, and then he gets traded to Tennessee, and that's a running team, and they've never...
I'll tell you what.
I guess they had A.J. Brown there.
Tannehill will always be hard for me to believe, and I'm sure you can understand this because you're a bigger...
I'm not a Tannehill fan.
I know, but yeah, I would say I'm sure you can understand this because you're a bigger college football fan than you are an NFL fan, I think. I remember Ryan Tannehill in college. Like, Missouri was in the same conference as A&M when Tannehill was there.
Okay.
And I just... In college, he was... The same guy, like this, just like mediocre fucking dude. Like, yeah. I'm still watching his career like 10 years later, and I'm like, how the fuck does Ryan Tannehill exist other than the fact that he's tall?
I don't know.
That can't be the guy.
That can't be the guy.
If that's the Niners guy, then the Niners are fucked, and the Eagles have a free fucking pass.
But if you're out there and you're an NFL team, this offseason is going to be really fucking exciting because shit. These guys are on the move somewhere. You got Lamar Jackson and Rodgers potentially, and all these guys. Like, this will be a big boy draft. A ton of superstars in the draft that everybody can get. Eagles have great picks.
Oh, the Eagles are going to be gnarly.
My God, dude.
If I was the Niners, I would probably... If you want to go super-duper all-in, Lamar Jackson, I think you can win a Super Bowl with Derek Carr, though, and save money.
Yes. Yeah, you could, especially if you want a great defense. And I would recommend that as well.
Right.
So get somebody less than NFL Draft 2023. I'm going to look up real quick here. I just want to see where the Eagles are at.
They have the Saints pick, I think.
Let's see here. Just need an order here, friend. I need a fucking order here. I make it so goddamn difficult here. Just give me the order.
All right, here we go.
All right, here we go. Here Danny goes. Okay. So
Eagles have the 10th pick.
Oh, man. I think they really only need like a Bijan Robinson out of that pick. If he's there. If he's there at 10, take him.
Well, he's a running back, so I don't.
I think they need it. That's what I think they need. So like I know Miles Sanders had a decent year. He's a little guy. I think you throw a Bijan Robinson in that mix, dude, and you're fucking golden. And at 10, you don't have to pay him that much money.
Well, I mean, if you can get some sort of like defensive line wrecking type of dude or a dope linebacker, I mean, any type of defense, I would just take the best available, honestly. I don't think they can go wrong at 10 because their team is already so fucking good.
Yeah. Miles Sanders and Boston Scott are free agents this year. So, yeah, take Bijan at 10. You're fucking golden next year. Man. Great times to be an Eagles fan right now. They look pretty goddamn good yesterday.
They're great. And honestly, and they're young. How Jalen Hurts, legit?
Yes. I'm one more year of proving it, and I think you're good to go on that. He certainly looked great last night.
He was dropping dimes. I didn't think he was capable of dropping.
Same. And he was very, very good last night. Now, the previous 6 weeks were horrific, but how much of that was the injury, how much of it wasn't, I don't really know. It doesn't matter. You just played on the world's biggest stage in the Super Bowl and thrived. So in my opinion, I'm not going to second guess it anymore. We'll see how he does next year. But as far as this year goes, that's the dude. And there's no draft needs or anything on a quarterback or any of this stuff.
The Eagles also have the 30th.
Minshew is your backup. And, you know, like for real.
Yeah.
Like you don't need to spend any picks on QBs. No. You're good.
The Eagles have two first round picks.
And the 30th?
The 30th pick as well.
Shit, dude. That Bijan Robinson kid, watching him in person, running back, would be
Texas.
great for this team.
Yeah,
and I hate Texas, but that kid's really fucking good.
By the way, we didn't even talk about this. We don't need to get super into it, but joining a year early in the SEC.
Yeah, so it was supposed to be on hold, and then they cut. So that deal came down to an extra $100 million.
Yeah,
out of ESPN's pockets and somebody else, and the conference.
I don't care.
Well, the two schools had to pony up 50 apiece to get him the fuck out of there. Right. But the odd thing to me is all of those other schools are moving over this year. So you're going to have like 18 teams in the Big 12 this year. So at least for this year,
right.
It's going to be fun and weird.
Very weird.
We're just like, all right, who the fuck are these people? Yeah. Cincinnati, UCF.
Yeah, UT Cincinnati in conference.
It's going to be a weird.
It's gonna be so fucking dumb.
It's going to be weird for a year, and then they move over to the SEC. Careful what you wish for, though, moving to the SEC.
They're not going to like it.
No.
They're not going to like it.
No. So, yeah, but they did get out of that deal, and I think the awkwardness would have been too much for the next 2 years. No. I'm happy about it. Like, good.
And by the way, Ohio borders Kentucky, so it's only a matter of time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Before Ohio State joins the SEC.
Yeah. No, I think somebody was asking me about this last week, and here was my prediction. I think you'll have the SEC. I think you'll have the Big Ten because they're loading up. UCLA and USC are coming. And, you know, I think Oregon and who is it? Washington are rumored to be the next two to move over there. I think those will be the two big conferences. Now, what I'm curious about is what the ACC is going to do.
And die.
Maybe. Or die. Do they join as well? And
they'll die.
Yeah.
There's no good Northern ACC teams.
No, you got Clemson, and then you have Miami in that conference,
and
football-wise, and Florida State. And those three are good.
And then the best you have up north is, like, Pitt.
Yeah. Pitt needs to...
Right. But here's the problem. Here's what's all still insane to me about UT and OU joining. Like, Missouri and A&M joining makes sense because they just want money and to be in a different conference. That's fine. They don't lose anything. They're the same standing either conference they're in, right? Mm-hmm. They're a little guy. Well, A&M's medium to big guy because of money, but Missouri's a little guy, whatever. OU and UT in particular,
yep.
They go from the most important people in their conference to like the fourth to fifth most. The University of Texas has never not been the most important school in their conference until right fucking now.
I know. And that's all going to change, and they're in for a world of hurts.
It's going to be
because
bad.
The other part is
not just on the field,
I know,
but in the fucking in the boardroom and everything.
All
like they can't swing their dicks around anymore.
No, and I think the SEC once they get there wants to prove a point. Hey, welcome to the conference. Here's Alabama.
Yeah.
Here's fucking Georgia. Here's LSU. Have fun. Now it gives a shot at like LSU versus Texas being a fun series and all that shit.
And that's a blast.
And for us living in Austin with all these people that are now going to be in and out of that stadium.
Oh yeah.
It's going to be great for us. Great for this program, but not good for the schools as a whole.
No, they're going to do very bad at sports.
But it's fun, kids. We would bring up the UFC, but Joel does not have a microphone today. Bringing back all the crew now. I think they're supposed to get here by tomorrow morning. So they might be back for RPR. We'll see.
We're on a normal-ish schedule tomorrow.
Yes. Everything will be back in order tomorrow. I think so. Yeah, that's it, right? Yeah, they'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Those guys will be back tomorrow. Go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star and you can walk away. Just rate Drinking Bros Sports on there. That's all the fucking advertisers care about. And in the meantime, you can bet with us or against us on mybookie.com. We will be doing another golf show this week. Always, we do that every single week. And I'll probably pop in and we'll do a little bit of Daytona 500 action. Not that I'm the most knowledgeable in NASCAR, but it is the Super Bowl of racing. So since we're going, we always throw a lot of money on it anyways, but kind of like funsies, Kentucky Derby-ish type
flyers. It's a lottery ticket.
Yes. So those will be fun as well. So we'll pop in and do a Daytona 500 show as well. We appreciate you joining us for Hot Bob, Joel. Yeah, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Monday Morning Recap. Good morning, everyone.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.